listening to Magic From Wherever I'm At with your host, the magician, time traveler, and charmer, D'Artagnan.
Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm D'Artagnan, and today we're going to talk a little about a listener who asked me who my favorite magician was. And for those that don't know me personally or just listen to this out in the wild, then I will, I like a lot of magicians, of course. Despite what you may think from listening to this podcast, I do have some people I really respect. Of course, I've mentioned mentors and stuff in the past. But when it comes to my favorite magician, I think there is a person that's sort of at the pinnacle. If I sort of sit down and look at how I've been influenced and the books and so forth that have influenced me, I would say probably the number one favorite magician for me is Tommy Wonder. Now, I first encountered Tommy Wonder on the L&L tapes, which I had access to before I had access to his wonderful books, which is unfortunate. I wish it would have been the other way around, but that's sort of how the world works sometimes. And to me, Tommy Wonder embodied everything I personally think a magician should be. Not everything I think magicians should be, although he certainly fits into that category as well. But certainly everyone, when I think of the word magician, that's the guy that sort of pops into my head. But more than that, Tommy Wonder, especially once you start exploring his books and so forth, clearly had all the qualities that you'd want, not only in his performance character and his, you know, repertoire and all that kind of stuff, but he also was extremely creative, constructed his own stuff, you know, had all these extra things that you don't usually get. And the fact that he decided to share his knowledge and wisdom with the rest of Magicdom is an unbelievable gift, you know, to the art. So I think we sort of take a look at Tommy Wonder. You know, he wasn't really, didn't seem to me, I mean, I never met him in person, but he didn't seem to be really, like, imposing. He just seemed to have that nice quality of being suave and debonair, but also silly at the same time. You know, very humorous and self-deprecating. And I think that's a nice balance that he had going there, where he, you know, especially looked like he could be very almost a satire on the sort of class, you know, Channing Pollocks of the world and the sort of, you know, maybe when Rene Levon first got started and was doing a manipulation act, if you've ever seen stuff like that, you see sort of what that era was like, I guess. And Tommy Wonder was almost like, because he had a manipulation act and stuff too, and did a lot, I mean, that's another quality we can sort of appreciate about Tommy Wonder, is he worked in all different venues. Did a lot of restaurant work, worked a lot of stage. He just had a very, seemed to me he had a very keen understanding from reading his books and seeing him in various videos. He seemed to have a very keen understanding of people. I mean, if you delve into his Books of Wonder, which are two of the best books extant in magic, then you really get this, he really covers a lot of the interesting aspects and sort of challenges a lot of your perceptions, maybe if you've sort of, you know, come through a lot of more mainstream magic books. I think he challenges a lot of those ideas you may have in your head about how magic is to be performed, taking the myths out of misdirection and so forth. I think it was in the second book, maybe, where he starts to talk about conflict. You know, the hallmark of a lot of Tommy Wonder's best routines was conflict and the drama it created. And this really blends in nicely with something I just absolutely hammer on in these podcasts, which is like the presentational aspects of magic. He had obviously a very intricate understanding of how important these aspects were, where there's like theater for the tricks, right? I mean, you look around now, it's like sorely, sorely devoid in most magic of any kind of theater. And so if you read those books and sort of you get an inside look into the creativity, I mean, some of the stuff he came up with too is incredible. If you just leaf through those books or see some of those things come to life on the L&L videos, you see how creative he was at building stuff and building his own props, envisioning something that he wanted and then doing that instead of like trying to piece it together from stuff that exists. He just went and built stuff required for his vision. And that is an important lesson unto itself, I think, is to not remain inside the box of what is available and what has been done before, but to step outside of that box. And if you have a vision of something, to work towards that. You may have to compromise or something eventually, but ideally you set like this utopian type ideal and you work towards that. And for Tommy Wonder, he wanted things to look a certain way and appear a certain way, and he really seemed to strive towards that. I've not really heard anything bad about Tommy Wonder, to be honest. I'm sure there are people out there, like anyone, who disliked him perhaps, but none of the real sort of name magicians still around, really, they seem to all have a respect for him as well. So I think for the answer to the question of the listener is like definitely Tommy Wonder, because he can play all those different sides. He was clearly that, right? Just the way he seemed to, on the videos I've seen, there's a way he seemed to carry himself. But he also had this almost like childlike excitement, where he himself was very excited to like share these things with his audiences. And there's a lot to be learned from just that, which is the connection you're making. A very likable character, you know, when you watch those videos and stuff of the L&L video, I mean, just very likable. Because he's also sort of like not putting that wall that you often see magicians do, with them having, you know, special powers or special knowledge. There ends up being a wall between them and the audience. Tommy Wonder was very clearly like experiencing a lot of the things the audiences were with them, and not just foisting it on them or showing it to them. He was experiencing it with them. And that's a very powerful sort of strategy for performing magic that may not be talked about directly, clearly, because I've seen too much of the opposite. You know, that's one thing that made Tommy Wonder very good, is he seemed to ingratiate himself with that, which helped the magic go over, because then he was often surprised. You know, that's another sort of aspect of some of his magic, is that he was just as surprised along with the audience at some of the outcomes. They weren't just straightforward, where it's like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, ta-da. Which is how you see a lot of magic done. It's just like so weak, because there's no variation. It's exactly just very boom, 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 done. Which is why I hammer home so much on this podcast that if you're not creating engaging presentations, you're not creating that theater, like, you're making a huge mistake, because the magic itself then is all there is. And while the tricks are surprising, there's no meat there. There's no nothing to sink your teeth into. And that brings us to sort of to finish off the Tommy Wonder thing. Tommy Wonder is my favorite magician, for the listener who asked that question, without a doubt. And if you haven't read all his material, you know, you got various DVDs. Tommy Wonder Entertains is another thing he appears on. He's got lecture notes out there that I have, that I've read. The Books of Wonder, if you can get your hands on those. I know there's, if you're listening to this in other countries, there was a French reissuing of the two Books of Wonder, and this like amazingly Bible-looking type, you know, 2-book set, which looks amazing if you happen to read French. So Tommy Wonder is at the top of my personal mountain. Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear who other people think is at the top of their personal mountain. So if you're listening to this and you have favorite magicians and reasons for that, I'd love to hear them. You know, maybe we'll talk about your favorite magicians on another podcast. Now, today's rant sort of leads on from that, in that I've talked a bit about, of course, I talk about this almost every podcast, so it maybe seems like there's a bit of redundancy on this fact, but the fact of the matter is I'm trying to just hammer with like a giant sledgehammer this into anybody listening to this podcast. You know, social media, of course, very prevalent now, being inundated constantly by all sorts of video and pictures and written words. And in 2018, that's like, you know, just increasing at an ever increasing rate. So, but I think that, and I've always felt this way since I've been in magic, is that I don't think video is a good medium for magic. And certainly social media seems to be the worst medium for magic. Because not only is it just video, which would be fine maybe under most circumstances, but all of these social media apps, the popular ones, limit the time. So now as a magician, if you want to show people, hey, which is, I think, a mistake too. Hey, I'm a magician. Look at what I can do. I think that's one of the worst sort of ways you could use social media. So that's probably a whole nother thing. But I think part of the reason for it being so bad is like you're taking whatever it is you want to show, whatever you want to demonstrate about your magic, and then you're having to shoehorn it into, you know, 10 seconds or 30 seconds or whatever. That is a huge mistake, because for most stuff you should be doing, it's never going to fit into like 10 seconds, or shouldn't, because that means you're just like doing some, oh, I changed a card or something, which is like basically meaningless. It's a little eye candy perhaps, and somebody will be like, oh, that's cool, and then they just keep scrolling into something, you know, something else. If you want to make your magic, and this all sort of ties back in to the presentational aspects of magic, it's like if you shortchange that, you shortchange your magic. And as a result, you get this, like, I mean, I've made a video you can see on my Instagram where I didn't show any magic, first of all, but I also didn't want to use the regular Instagram posting because it was too short to communicate anything of value. So I used the IGTV. If you go to my IGTV, I don't know if it'll be up by now, but eventually it'll be up because I haven't uploaded it yet, but I made it a while ago. It's like I did a little video about how your magic should not be like fast food. And that's kind of what social media is in general. It doesn't always have to be. I mean, there's some great quick Twitter things, and if they're linked to other things and stuff, it's great. But if you're trying to shoehorn like a trick into those social media apps, where the things are so short, all you do is shortchange your magic. You'll never see me perform magic. I shouldn't say never. I mean, unless it's like a live stream on a Facebook Live or something, maybe in the future. But you'll never see me do a trick for like Instagram for like 10 seconds or something. Because you don't have time to build up any theater there. And it's the theater that matters, not the tricks. I don't know how many times, I'm probably going to, you know, be saying that when I'm on my deathbed, you know, put that on my gravestone. But you shouldn't be ruining your magic, because without the theater, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're talking or doing it silent or doing it to music and stuff, there has to be some theater there. And if you're just blowing it onto social media, I think you're making a massive, massive mistake, because then you're just getting these quick little, they want to show this quick trick, like, hey, I'm a magician, here's my quick trick, look at me, I'm a magician. And it sort of smacks more along the lines of like, hey, look at me, look what I can do. You know, what was it, Mad TV, when he used to have, like, Stuart, that funny character who was like a child and his mother. Hey, look what I can do. He would jump up in the air. That's kind of what you're doing. And without the theater, without the presentational aspect, without a narrative to go along with your trick, right, to build your trick into something much more savory and deeper, you know, deeper meaning, deeper. And it doesn't have to be like a, I'm not talking about building it into like something where it makes a comment about, you know, life or something. That doesn't necessarily have to go in some sort of serious direction. It can be something silly, have its own internal logic, which doesn't make any sense in the real world and so forth. But it should have something more to it than just, we, you know, I have a ball, I put it in your hand. Oh, now we got two balls. Oh, I have your card, we lose it in the deck. Oh, I found your card. Your card's in my pocket. I mean, that stuff is just such garbage that it's like anyone doing that should be embarrassed for themselves, because you're just, it's the absolute lowest value that you can demonstrate. And as a magician, really, you're not a magician, because a magician would know to put theater into his tricks. And then you can do so much more with it. I mean, you can cover all these weird moments where you have to show your hands empty and so forth, you know, which a lot of magicians are terrible at, the clapping their hand, you know, showing their hands on show, because it's so quick, you have to substitute a way in to be like, oh, here, you know, see, my hands are empty. And it's so phony and looks just so contrived that it's just, I mean, with a presentation, you can cover all those things where there might be, because there's a lot of tricks that have some really awkward, discrepant moments in them. But if you build some nice theater around it, you can cover all that stuff so easily. It's like amazing. And to circle this whole thing back and bring it back full circle, if you've read those Tommy Wonder books, he talks about a lot of that stuff in there and how different things can be covered, what to worry about, you know, doing things slowly, all these kind of things. But the presentational aspects in the theater that you can build around a given trick can take care of all those like weak moments where it's like, if you, when you just do the trick, there's like a weirdness to it. You know, there's a lot of weird ways that the card has to be put back, or like a lot of tricks have these really bad moments, and you can take a presentation and justify those bad moments with something presentationally. And then it just flies right by. There's no weakness to it anymore, because it's been camouflaged, if you will, almost, by the theater. So that's all I have for today. If you don't or haven't read the Tommy Wonder books, come on, man. How can you call yourself a magician? You got to invest to be a magician sometimes. And Tommy Wonder's books are some of the best investment you'll ever make. If you want to learn more about presentational magic and why your tricks are weak and what you can do about it, you can go over to d'artagnanmagic.com/realmagic. D'Artagnan Magic on all social media. Oh, and that's another thing. I had a listener write to me a couple of weeks ago and sort of ask me, you know, a few things about his show. And he said to me, one of the things he said to me was like, I have a good show. And then he started to run through things. And I said to him, now, because I was just curious too, like, why do you consider it a good show? Because I didn't consider it a good show. And he knows that now, so this is not news to him. But like most magic you see, it's just a series of disconnected tricks that are put one after another. Like, why would you do it that way? I mean, I've done it that way too. Trust me, I made that same damn mistake. But why would you do it that way? Like, it makes no sense. And to him, that was like, hey, I got a good show. I'm doing this. I'm doing the, you know, I'm doing this card trick. I'm doing the egg bag. I'm doing some mentalism. But these were just like tricks, like boxes of, you know, I'll stack this box of oranges on top of this box of apples. I'll sit this watermelon on top of the oranges. It was like they were all fruit, but there's no connection whatsoever. It's just a series of things, and I mean, no other art really does it that way. And there's a reason for that. So you should, like, consider that when you're putting your shows together. Like, what the hell are you doing? You know? Why is it just a series of disconnected tricks that nobody really gives a care about? Because most people will be like, yeah, that's a good show. But if they... And this is something you should worry about. When they do see a good show that has taken the care and the time and the thought to weave everything together into a cohesive show, then your show's going to look like an abomination. It's going to look like garbage. And maybe that will never happen. Maybe they'll never run into somebody else because people see so few real magicians live in their life that maybe you can hide for your whole life and not have to endure that pain of having somebody think or even say that, oh no, I saw this other guy and all this stuff was woven together. And because for me, that's what people comment on now, is not the tricks anymore. They don't say stuff like, oh, you fooled me and stuff, you know. They say things that they elevate their comments. Their comments have been elevated. The further and the more elevated the tricks are with theater that I've created, the more elevated the compliments have been. And so that's where I'm going to leave it today. Again, if you have any questions, concerns, we're getting some more reader interaction or listener interaction, I should say, as time goes on. And if you have any questions or comments for, against, or anywhere in between, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time.